come along. So it's come to this. Messi wants out. The year-on-year incompetence of the Barcelona board, the ill-informed decision, the lack of sporting leadership, capped off by the appointment of Ronald Koeman and the rumoured removal of privileges, means the great man has had enough. Or maybe it's a power play to force change at the top. After all, if Real Madrid had sent a double agent to join the Barcelona board, they couldn't have done a better job than Josep Bartomeu. Is Messi really that political? Could it happen in time anyway? There are lots of unknowns. Who could afford his wages? Will there be a transfer fee? Will Barca leave him sitting on the bench? Can Gareth Bale persuade him to take up golf? Also, I don't really understand the point of a 700 million release clause if he's also got a contract that lets him leave for free at the end of every season. So is that a 700 million euro January clause? There are some good players on sale at Barcelona this summer. Messi, Suarez, Rakitic, Vidal, Umtiti. One word of warning, don't put them all in the same team. That would never work. We'll also think the unthinkable. At least two of our correspondents question whether Messi leaving would be such a bad thing after all. Now, obviously, this podcast gives Terry the opportunity to revise his Messi stays 100% prediction from last time out. We'll also see whether he wants to tone down his appreciation of Ever Banega now that we know that he's a baldy shamer. There are other things to catch up on. Sevilla win the Europa League, of course. Champions League final, a little bit on that. Valencia selling Rodrigo to Leeds United, subject to a medical. And Elche win promotion and sack their coach with the season round the corner. There is chaos almost everywhere you look. Now then, Terry, the first one, let's get this out of the way, shall we? Coffee is couldn't help himself. It looks like Terry Gibson was wrong on Messi's day, 100%. Muoya in South Africa says, love your pod, but it would be too soon. Wait for Barca's response. I think you're missing the point of how modern media works there. I think we're waiting for a considered response is not the way we do it. I think we dive in, we say stuff, and then we think about the consequences of what we say afterwards. That's how we do it now. Mark Kane says, can the first 10 minutes be spent explaining to idiot Americans like me what a bureau fax is? Not by us, it can't be. And Ibex, when was the last time either of you sent a bureau fax? Graham Hunter, Terry, sent me a message. It's not sending a fax. Apparently, it's like a recorded delivery thing, which is what
exactly
a bureau fax is. Anyway.
I had no idea what it was. I had to Google it last night. So I'm not going to try and be clever and say, oh, yes, I knew what a bureau fax was. I'd never heard of a bureau fax.
No, it was a nice image, exactly, wasn't it? Messi exactly standing by a fax machine trying to, you know, get him.
Pressing plug, send.
Now then, right, I'll deal with the first question because I think this is a quick one from Kian. Do you think he's just listening to his agent holding out for a massive deal from Barcelona? Right. In vast majority of cases, that is a good thought, a good point. That when we hear X is unhappy about such and such, it basically means they want more money. But Messi is being paid enough money. I think this is genuine. This runs deep. So we'll crack on unless you object to that explanation, Terry.
No, I think that's a fair explanation, John. Answer. I think it's this goes far deeper than just money.
So we get to the board then. So the next three questions are about that. So, Stu, could this be a ploy to get rid of Bartomeu and the board? Force the directors out. A new president comes in, Messi stays. Sanju, if Bartomeu leaves, will Messi stay? And Harold, do you think this is a stunt to get the president to quit? Vilnius says, why Bartomeu not calling elections? Why? What does he have to gain from the extra 6 months? I mean, that's a good point. So, what's your view on, is this getting rid of the board? Can it be rectified by the board changing? Is there some kind of political solution to this? That I think lots of Barca fans would want that to be the case. Can you offer any hope?
Well, I don't know how it's all going to play out. I don't think any of us do. But I do think that it's clear that Messi is hacked off with the board. And that's not just a recent thing. I don't think Messi is alone in terms of the playing squad being hacked off with the board. And there's, you know, the good reason why that is the case. I just can't believe how thick-skinned some people are. So Bartomeu has been hounded out for some while now. And when you look at the mistakes he's made under his watch, I mean, he's going to go down. If Messi does leave, he's going to go down as the president that allowed Messi and Neymar to leave the club. There's a whole load of other situations that have risen during his time. I mean, him and Sandro Rossi, They were the two people that allowed Barcelona to have sponsorship on their shirt. They really wanted to commercialise the whole club, whereas in the past it had been, the identity was that it was something different, you know, and it was, you know, they wanted to keep the shirt sacred. Between Rosé and Bartomeu, they decided to, you know, put sponsorships on the shirt. And we could go through the list of the players that they've signed. I mentioned that the two big players, one left, one possibly is going to leave. You know, it's the managerial appointments, the ever-changing role of the director of football. And it is, to try and fathom how Bartomeu is so thick-skinned that he's going to put it all on the line. I don't know what his motivation is. I mean, it clearly, if his motivation was to do the best thing for the club, he should have gone, and he should certainly go now. But it looks like he's brought in a hatchet man as well, in Ronald Koeman. I mentioned on last week's podcast, first of all, I have to address the situation where I said that 100% Messi would stay there because I assumed that the time was up on the contract, the clause that would allow him to leave on a free transfer. I presumed and assumed, rightly, maybe wrongly, we'll see how that plays out, that, you know, the time had gone and he couldn't leave on a free. Therefore, I didn't think anybody was going to pay the 700 million euro buyout clause. So I think we have to look at that. And then we have to look at, you know, Ronald Koeman coming in and the way that they're going about notifying players that they're not in his plans, which is well within his rights to tell players, whoever it is, they're not in his plans. But we don't know how he's done it. You know, I mentioned on the podcast last week that he was, yeah, big balls, he had an ego, he was going to come in, he was going to you know, be the man that to make take big decisions. But it appears he's coming like a bull in a china shop. We don't know how the conversation went between him and Suarez. We don't know how the conversation went between him and Messi. I'm presuming now it didn't go particularly well with both of those players, because there is a way for, you know, someone like Luis Suarez to leave the club. I mean, he's their third record goal scorer, third top goal scorer in history in six seasons. And, you know, he was finding out prior to Koeman, it almost looked like Koeman had to ring him, because it was all over the press and Suarez came out and said, no one spoke to me. So it was almost like a rushed job that Koeman had to ring him. Bowl accounts that the phone call lasted barely 60 seconds. And he was being, you know, told that he was being discarded. Now, it's one thing to say that. How they're going to do that with Luis Suarez, I don't know. And I have no idea what's going to happen. Now, bearing in mind, we're 18 days away from the start of the season. How this is going to play out in the next couple of weeks with Messi. If it goes to court, which I expect it to do so, that's not going to be done within 2 weeks. Will it be done before the transfer window closes at the end of October? I don't know. I'm not an expert on that sort of thing. But it's war between Messi and Bartomeu. That's clear. And it's been building for some time now.
Right. So another couple of questions. So let's go on the thinking the unthinkable ones. Chigipto, is there any player who would benefit from Messi's departure? Side note, he says, I haven't read this actually, as a Barca fan, any trophies next couple of seasons won't feel any good if Messi won't be lifting them. Interesting. Now, Gary, with how much of an impact he's made on team making all the decisions, even though he's as good as he is, would it be better for the club to properly plan for the future without him at 33? The time's coming at his age anyway, so is it going to happen sooner or later? Apansky, who's a Barca fan. Truth is, Messi, as good as he has been for us, has also introduced a weakness in our forward line's ability to press. It's difficult for forwards to coordinate and effectively press as we did before, considering we don't dominate games. It's a big problem, which is why I believe it's not all bad news if he leaves, provided he does the fully makes the entire board resign, improves Barca's revenue, does not leave on a free transfer, and actually helps us rebuild. We saw Rivaldo, Figo, Ronaldinho leave. We rebuilt. So there we are. There's the unthinkable. A few people just wondering, actually, his age, you know, he's a superman. He's been the best player ever in my view, Terry, but he's not superhuman. He is slowing down. Is there a case for Barcelona thinking, okay, well, off you go then?
No, No, don't agree with it. I because I think if that was the case, yeah, you're right. It's going to happen to him. It's going to eventually Barcelona do have to plan, but they need more than 2 weeks to plan a future without Messi. So to replace Messi is going to be impossible with just one player. So this is this will be an ongoing process where they're thinking 2 or 3 years ahead. So I can't see any advantage whatsoever in Messi being allowed to leave Barcelona in these circumstances at this moment in time as well. I think that Barcelona will be a better team with him in for the next few seasons still. And let's not forget, he was still, you know, Pichichi in La Liga last season, in which was a poor season from Barcelona. And he's still scoring the goals. He's still racking up the assists. He's a victim of his own
brilliant
example that he's, in over the years that we've seen from him. I mean, if there's a slight fall, he's still miles better than anybody else. So I think, you know, it's harsh to judge him by his own standards. And regarding the press, I up front, I think it's an issue having him and Suarez up front. Mm. I really do. And I've made that clear on podcasts and various comments over the last couple of seasons. But you don't have to press. It's not a law in football that you have to press from the front. There are other ways to play the game. But at the moment, Barcelona don't have one way that's successful. Whether it's dropping off, whether it's closing down up front quickly, there's no plan at the moment. So that all needed resolving, which drifted along with Valverde. It deteriorated even more with Quique Setién. But there is no law that in the game of football that you have to press. I know it's fashionable at the moment. I know a lot of teams do it, but it's not the only way to play football. So there are ways that you can accommodate Messi. The problem I have with Messi and Suarez together is that Messi likes to come short, likes to get the ball to feet. Suarez was the one that used to run in behind and was the one that run, you know, past players with the ball. He can't do that anymore. So that means when you play against someone like Bayern Munich, those tactics that Bayern use where you can press high up the pitch because you condense the space where Messi receives the ball to feet and looks to take people on. And also at the same time, you're not particularly worried about Suarez running in behind. So there's you know, there are issues with both of them playing together up front. So I think that needed resolving. Was it the right decision from Barcelona to deal with Suarez in that manner? I don't know how that's going to play out because I'm hearing that they're going to be paying him up to make him leave on a free transfer. Well, if you're going to pay him up, you're not saving yourself that much money. Mm. In those circumstances, in my opinion, he's still one of the best finishers in the world. I mean, even in the game against Bayern Munich, his goal was sensational. The way he got the ball, multiple touch finishes is his speciality. When he picked the ball up, there was no real obvious chance of a goal. He twists, he turns, he sends Boateng all over the place and finishes it with a, you know, fine finish in the bottom corner. So if you can get Suarez in the positions that he's, you know, he's best at still, he'll still score goals. I mean, his goal scoring record last season was phenomenal considering he had 4 months out through injury. So it's my dilemma is if they were going to sell him and get a load of money, he was going to get a contract elsewhere, which made it favourable for him to decide to leave Barcelona with a year left on his contract. Fair enough. But to pay him up and to allow him to leave smacked of me of just helping Koeman get a problem player out of the door to get him out of the way, rather than have Suarez on the bench, which he has suggested that he knows at his age and with his current injury issues. He has suggested that he would have been more than happy to have been part of the squad.
Yeah, which is Barca once again.
It looks to me,
I think what they've done in recent years, Terry, is throw money rather than come up with inventive solutions. They've thrown money at situations, which I think just paying off Suarez would be the same thing, wouldn't it? Especially because you look at the other players, they've got similar dilemmas, haven't they, with other players at the moment as well. So Vidal, Rakitic, Umtiti, who they don't want, but are on huge wages and under contract.
Yep, and the contracts that the club willingly gave out.
Yeah.
So we're hearing this more and more of this now, aren't we, with Mesut Ozil, Gareth Bale, and now the Barcelona players that you know, again, that the clubs have to be more careful when they're giving out these big, lengthy contracts, and they have to respect them. You know, it is difficult to say to players, oh, we've had enough of you now. That contract's null and void. You can go. So it's such a mess. And for Barcelona, they need a new president, one that is going to plan with for the future without Messi, without Suarez. And, you know, they have lost big players in the past. But there's always been an acceptance that those players would probably leave in the right circumstances. Xavi and Iniesta, the perfect examples. And, you know, although it was going to be almost be impossible to replace them, it was done in the right way. Now, you know, Messi is 33, Suarez is 33. You don't have to be, you know, why go and sign a 29-year-old in Griezmann if you had some sort of plan that, you know, maybe in the future Griezmann was going to be your star player? He's too old for that. Not saying he's too old to be a good player still, but too old. He's only 2 or 3 years younger than Messi and Suarez. So, you know, the plan should be there to be looking at younger players that can replace Messi, whether that's buying them in from elsewhere, which is what Real Madrid are doing, or to make sure they can produce their own players to cover the players that are coming to the end of their careers. So it's a lack of planning from Barcelona, total lack of planning. I mean, Martin Braithwaite, you know, the scenario where they bought him and put him on a 4-year contract, come on. You know, what were they thinking? It was a stopgap, temporary replacement for Luis Suarez. And they go and plunder, you know, take away from Leganés, their main striker, and put him on a 4-year deal. And now, I guarantee you, they'll now be looking at thinking, well, we need to move him on as well, but he's going to have 3.5 years left on the contract. Yeah. So the management of the club has been diabolical for so long. And Bartomeu was probably one of the most unpopular. If he allows Messi to leave, which might be out of his hands, he's 100% going to be the most unpopular president of Barcelona Football Club. It's what he's going to be remembered for.
So, Gareth says, if Messi, Suarez, Vidal, Rakitic and others are sold by Koeman, then no La Liga team will have fear or respect for Barcelona. They can't buy replacements. However, a more positive spin from Alex says, are we perhaps overstating the weakness of the squad if Koeman switches to a double pivot or three at the back, a double pivot of De Jong and Pjanic with Coutinho as a 10? It seems tasty. If Barca sign a centre-back and a striker and play players in their natural positions, I reckon they can win the league. So that's a bit more positive, isn't it, from Alex?
Yeah, that, by all means, John, the rest of the Barcelona players, that we're still talking, you know, top quality in some positions. And I still think they would be competitive. They wouldn't be disastrous. Would I put them down as favourites for the league title? No. Would I put them down as favourites for the Champions League? No. That's the impact that you know, Messi in particular, if he leaves the club, will have on Barcelona. But but there was still some if they buy a centre-back, and there has to be a certain amount of trust that they make the right choices if they have money available to go and sign players. So it would need strengthening, it would need backing up, but they still have, you know, some quality players there. And you know, Coutinho coming back, we've seen what he's done for Bayern. Where do you play him? They still have Dembele. I mean, we even could just go back recently to the Arturo Melo situation, where he's leaving the club before the season ends. He feels he was forced out. He didn't want to leave. He was almost forced into it. A ridiculous transaction in terms of money changing hands with a player that's 6 years older, and Pjanic coming into Barcelona. And then Arturo Melo, you know, throwing his toys out of his pram, and I don't blame him, not being available to take part in the last games of the season. So he was neither playing for Barcelona or Juventus. So they do need, you know, reinforcing in that squad. But I don't trust that they're going to make right signings. But no, there's still quality there. Of course there is.
Right. Where would Messi go? Question. So I'll read some questions again.
Where can he go?
A question. Says he needs to go to Juve. Let Barca have Dybala in return. The world needs to see Messi and Ronaldo together. A few people have said that. Right. Here's two interesting questions. Similar question. Adam says, do you think he'll take a big pay cut? Everyone talking about it. Who can pay his wages if he leaves? If he wants to win the Champions League, money's not his objective. Or he could stay at Barcelona. Mark Hurst, a leading football statistician, says if he becomes a free agent with his pick of clubs, do you think he'd go to the highest bidder? Or is there any chance he's prepared to take a pay cut And he says, say, to 200K a week. Not bad, is it? And open his options up for a more interesting challenge. So where could he go? Who is going to come up with the money? And one for me, Terry, as well. One potential resolution of this is that someone comes up with a big transfer fee, which would at least potentially keep it out of the court over that. Can he leave for free? Does someone have to pay 700 million euros? Neither of which is a very happy scenario. So obviously the two names that everyone says are the two oil-rich, gas and oil-rich clubs, PSG and Manchester City. Is that it? Is that his choice?
Yeah, I think it is. I made a list of possible teams, clubs that could afford him.
Yeah, Middlesbrough.
I did put Spurs, but I put a cross next to it because I think he wants Champions League football. So I've gone PSG, Man City, the obvious ones. Yeah. Other clubs with the resources and possibly that could attract him with a sporting project, Man United, Juventus, Bayern Munich. And there's a massive question mark next to Inter Milan because they've been heavily linked with him. And then that's it. I mean, Real Madrid, they could afford him. What a story that would be if he was to walk out on a free transfer. I don't think Florentino Perez could resist the temptation, do you?
Oh, he won't go there.
Whether Messi would make the choice to go to Real Madrid, depends how pissed off he is with Barcelona. So I think we're looking at, realistically, PSG and City. Is the PSG linking up with Neymar and Mbappe, would he feel that would take them to the next level? He's going to have a season of dominating and winning the French league, clearly, if Messi goes there, because they win it anyway. Would it be enough to take PSG to the next level and to win a Champions League? So something, I think it's got to be a mixture of both. Financially, it's got to be right for him. And I think from a sporting perspective, it has to be a club with ambition to take him to where he wants to go on the football pitch. So there's not many teams that would attract him. I mentioned Manchester United because they're one of the biggest clubs in the world historically. I had Chelsea, Liverpool, Arsenal and Spurs as the other possibilities, but I don't think they can afford him. I think it's PSG or Man City, the only two.
Manchester United can't get a deal done, can they? They can't, Jadon Sancho is knocking around. How long has that negotiations over Jadon Sancho been going on? To be fair to Chelsea, they're signing everybody to Chelsea, aren't they? While Man United are, dragging their heels for months over one deal. I just can't see that happening. PSG is almost... If I was the best player in the world and I was 23, the idea of going to PSG, I think, would be ridiculous because the lack of competitiveness in the French league. But at 33, so you are slowing down a little bit. Maybe you don't want 50, 60 rock-hard competitive games every season, because that's the drawback with the Premier League, isn't it, in terms of his legend. It's a tough league, the Premier League. It's tougher than the French league. It's more physical than La Liga. And so, do you want to go and start up with a whole... I don't want to overstate the physicality and the difference of the Premier League. I think the league's a lot more similar now than they were 10, certainly 20 years ago, when there were massive differences between how teams played. Less so now. But... that sort of semi-step into retirement. So your Champions League games are your big games at PSG. You're getting paid a fortune. He wins another league title, as you say, probably another cup medal and all of that as well. And has a genuine tilt at winning the Champions League, as we saw this season. I don't know. I think I'd be tempted to do that rather than...
Yep, I agree with you.
Yeah.
I really do. I think that would be the... And... would PSG be able to keep him, Neymar, and Mbappe? I don't know how financial fair play fits into all this.
But doesn't seem to do anything.
Who cares? No one cares at the moment. Yeah. But if they could keep all three, then I think that is... And also, we have to bear in mind, he's lived in Barcelona most of his life, which is a wonderful city. PSG in Paris, You're talking London clubs, Turin and Manchester. I mean, it's that will play a part as well in where he wants to go and spend the next, I imagine, next at least 3 years playing, uprooting his family, moving to a new city in a different part of Europe. We haven't mentioned China, Qatar. I don't think anyone in the MLS can afford him. But it does seem to me as if he wants to continue his career in one of the major European leagues. So if it's a difficult one to call. We're right to assume he has a great relationship with Guardiola. But do Manchester City want to pay the transfer, the salary as well? I mean, it's still a huge, not gamble because of his quality, but he is 33. We have to bear that in mind. Are they, you know, going to be willing to pay gross £8 million a month?
Yeah, it's extraordinary. The money is on, isn't it? And also Barcelona, I think Barcelona are entitled to a transfer fee, unless the law says otherwise. And they need, I don't think they owe Messi a favour in that respect, because, you know, he's demanded exceptionally high wages. It's been a two-way street. They've given him a lot. You know, the club, I'm not saying the board, but the club has given Messi a lot. Messi has obviously contributed an extreme amount to Barcelona over the years. But they need the money, Barcelona, because they've messed up so much in recent seasons with their transfer business. So they need a transfer fee. But then there is a gamble because he is a human being. So if you commit to paying all that money, you commit to paying tens of millions or whatever, you end up in a transfer fee, and then his hamstring goes and he misses 3 months of the season. It's potentially devastating, isn't it, for a club and its financial fair play. So how, if you were City, so if you were Pep and the board at City, how much are you willing to go? Are you checking everything? Are you checking the whole year's budget at getting Messi through the door?
It'd be 2 years' budget, yeah, wouldn't it? I would have thought. I mean, honestly, modern day footballers are paid huge sums of money. At Manchester City, in particular, where they've attracted some of the better players around from around the world, their salaries are particularly big, but they'd be dwarfed by Messi's salary. I can't imagine who's the highest earning player at Manchester City. No one really sticks out.
De Bruyne, I think, is on.
De Bruyne, you'd hope, and Aguero.
I think, if I remember rightly, I think they are on the similar kind of money to the Suarezes of the world. So that's a lot less than Messi, but, you know, that. What
probably a quarter.
Yeah, yeah. So what should be the top grade, but obviously Messi is then a separate beast altogether.
Yeah, so you're looking at Manchester City's best earners earning 25% of what it's going to cost Messi to pay Messi. If Messi's €1 million a week, De Bruyne is £250,000 a week, Aguero £250,000 a week.
That's a lot of
shit. I don't know the sums, but that is a hell of a lot of money. But then it's dwarfed by Messi €8 million a month. You know, it's a massive decision.
Yeah.
I'm sure the owners of Manchester City would love to do it because it would take their club to the next level, which is, you know, what they've been able to do by, you know, pouring money into the club to get them back involved into European football, to, you know, to win Premier League titles. But if Messi went to Manchester City, then the name Manchester City will be known. So it has its value in just getting Messi to come to your club as well. We're talking about what he does on the pitch, but it takes your club to a whole new level. And I'm sure PSG and Manchester City's owners would chuck any money at it to take their club to the next
level.
So
you would
probably pay more Man City because PSG got Neymar already.
Right. So here's the question. If you're Manchester City, are you willing to pay what he's on at Barcelona and potentially a transfer fee to get him in?
If they can get it through financial fair play, yes.
Right, yeah.
Yes, I do.
Okay, cool. Right, you know what? I think we will move on from Messi. We've got a load of other stuff going on, Terry. There are other players in La Liga. It
turns out. and clubs.
Yes. So, bear with us, everyone. We'll have a quick pause, and then we'll be back. Welcome back. So it's not all about Messi and Barcelona. Plenty of other things going on in the world, such as Sevilla winning the Europa League, which is sort of reassuring, Terry, isn't it? Feels like the normal world is carrying on. Sevilla winning the Europa League. Remarkable achievement. It's remarkable that they are in the same position every so often. Because obviously they'd like to be staying in the Champions League. They'd like to be going for the Champions League a bit later in the competition next season. But there we are. They won it. And, there we are. Sevilla Europa League winners. And it was a terrifically fun final.
Well, I think we have to put it in perspective. Prior to them winning their first UEFA Cup, Europa League, they weren't regular participants in European football. You know, it was an achievement for them to finish in a European position and to be in European competition. And for them, over the course of six times, is it in 14 years, to win a European trophy is a phenomenal achievement. And what makes it even more remarkable is the turnaround in players that they've had, the profit that they've been able to make on players that they've sold. And in that period of time, to manage to win six European trophies, astonishing achievement. And their run this season, they put everything into it. They're an example to a lot of other clubs that, see top four in their respective league as being better than winning a trophy. This season, Sevilla have been able to do both, finish in the top four and to win a European trophy. They were motivated more than some of the other teams in that competition, because of the fact that, take Inter Milan and Manchester United, for example, they'd already qualified for next season's Champions League, but so had Sevilla. But when I saw Sevilla play against Inter and play against Manchester United, it still looked to me like Sevilla had more ambition in terms of the motivation, in terms of trying to win another trophy. And I think ultimately that's what led them to get it. When they, you could tell by the way when they celebrated winning that trophy, Lopetegui was in tears, Navas was in tears. The emotion there was clear for all to see how determined they were to put another trophy in the cabinet. A great example to similar clubs around Europe with a similar budget. I think it's incredible achievement what they've done.
Did you turn off the BT artificial crowd noise and just listen to the Sevilla delegation?
Yes, I did. Yeah. It was terrific. I mean, we saw it. I think it was Leganés in La Liga where their substitutes played a similar role, and I enjoyed watching that. I saw that via Twitter because you couldn't hear it because of the fake crowd noise that was on the game whilst it was on television. And it kind of, that showed the spirit and togetherness of the Seville delegation, the substitutes that were on the, in the stands as well, the amount of noise they generated. It was great entertainment. I mean, they did it against Manchester United as well, but against Inter Milan, there was even more than there. I think it was an extra 25 people allowed per club to go to the game, and those 25 had to do their job while they were there and to make it. You didn't need the pretend crowd noise, did you?
No, because they sang the club song and everything, didn't they? So you could hear it sounded like a proper Sevilla game instead of some kid in a studio trying to guess when there's a corner.
But they were brilliant. How Diego Carlos didn't do himself any favours with the three live games that were broadcast around Europe by giving away penalties in all three games. I did mean to check up, but my life isn't that dull at the moment, but I wanted to check to see how many penalties he's given away this season, because I don't recollect him giving away too many penalties. But to give away three in three consecutive games, and the one in the final was dreadful in the first 5 minutes.
Ridiculous
challenge, knowing you've given away two penalties in the last two games. But somehow they managed to overcome that. Thoroughly deserved victory against Wolves, thoroughly deserved victory against United. And I thought they, thoroughly deserved the win against Inter Milan. So, Lopetegui has come on leaps and bounds.
Quick one from Falilu. Why is Sevilla not pushing to sign Reguilón?
I don't know. I presume they would love to, but I'm presuming he must be out of their budget, and they know that. That's the only thing I can think of, because he looks a perfect fit for them. Sevilla are the perfect fit for Sergio Reguilón. You know, his career has gone in a really good direction since joining them. He's back in the, he's in the national squad as well. So from a football point of view, it's been the perfect loan. But I would imagine that, that Sevilla know that he's out of their range in terms of what he's going to cost to buy and how much he's going to have to be paid. So it's a real shame.
Pete wants to know, right, not La Liga, he says, but what do you think of the Champions League final? Best team won the Champions League, but not the Goalfest anticipated. That's Pete's view on it.
No, I had this theory about the Champions League. It probably comes on the back of Spurs from last season, where teams get to the final and they strangle themselves with tactical, you know, the technical side of the game, the tactical side. And PSG, look, their style was cramped. You know, it was similar to what Pep did against Lyon. You know, the coaches tried to be, to put too much thought into it. I remember Spurs last year, we were not lucky to get to the final, but we had luck along the way. And I just thought, ride that wave, you know, play your type of game against Liverpool in the final. And they didn't. And even at 1-0 down, it was still restricted and they had the brakes on. And then, you know, before you can have a right good go at it, Liverpool got the second at the end. And it was you were never in it. And I kind of felt like that with PSG. We saw them play in the earlier rounds, you know, and Neymar and Mbappe were sensational. And when it came to the final, I just felt there was the brakes were on by Tuchel, and he never let them off the leash. They never got enough service to Neymar, never got enough service to Mbappe. And it just seemed to me as if they were too restricted. So I think it was a disappointing final. But I think that the right team won the competition. Incredible squad that Bayern Munich have. Incredible. And you see the players on the bench, you know, and the players that coming off the bench and coming into the team. They have 20 unbelievable players in their squad. And again, similar to Sevilla, great spirit. Every player on the bench was playing his part, you know, cheering on his teammates and being right behind it. Even Alvaro Giazola, who barely played, bless him, but picked up, I think, five titles in a season and made 10 appearances, I think, as he won, because I think he played for Real Madrid earlier in the season, so he qualified for La Liga winners' medal, treble with Bayern Munich. So, you know, I think that, you know, Bayern are a good example to be held up as a club that's well-run. They get criticised because they keep winning the Bundesliga, but when you look at their squad, my goodness me, it's a fantastic squad they've built there.
Right. On the subject of well-run clubs, Jack Sanders says, if you do get a podcast on Messi, would it be possible to request a podcast on Valencia? I'm not entirely sure what's going on. Nick Osborne, thoughts on Rodrigo to Leeds?
Well, I saw Sid Lowe do a tweet and he's saying that Valencia are more than happy with Barcelona because they're just ticking away in the background and and people are ignoring them. Yeah. and Valencia are just selling off player after player. And that doesn't, it appeared to me that Jose Gaya was the only player that wasn't for sale. And do you know what? I think if someone came in for him, do you think they'd take it? Of course they would. So it's a crying shame what's happening at Valencia. In general, though, I'm looking at the gap between the seasons. I'm looking at the amount of transfer business that is going on. And I think it's fascinating to see how it's going to play out. I actually believe it's going to be a really messy start to the season, excuse the pun. A really untidy start to the season for so many clubs. I mean, Chelsea, the exception, they've gone out and bought loads of players. But we're hearing, you know, the amount of finance that's going to be lost to clubs. I think that they're going to look at it in a different manner. So I think we're in a lot of instances, we're going to be seeing either teams like Valencia selling their players off, Barcelona unloading players, or we're going to be seeing, you know, lots of teams that look very familiar to what we saw at the end of July when the last season ended.
So on that, while we're here, Brownie, thoughts on James Rodriguez to Everton?
I think he's a good player. I really do. And I think for the right price, the right wages, I think he would be an asset to any team in the Premier League. And I mean any team. He could play for any, in my opinion, he could play for any team and enhance them in the Premier League. So a good relationship with Ancelotti. He needs an arm put round him after his recent experiences with Real Madrid. That partnership, Ancelotti and James Rodriguez, could really turn out well for Everton.
He needs a coach who's got a plan for him, doesn't he? That's absolutely crucial, isn't it? It's one of those
and to believe
situations.
In him.
Yeah.
To believe in that plan and to make him feel as if he's an important part of the team. He's always come across to me as a good professional, a player that's got a good attitude, likes to play the game with a smile on his face. But unfortunately, we haven't seen enough of him at Real Madrid in the last few seasons. Shame.
Right then. One last question. Elche, blimey, right? If you haven't followed this, this is extraordinary, isn't it? So they didn't even know they were in the playoffs, did they? Until the last minute, because we were waiting for this other game that we didn't know whether it was going to be played or not. So they win the playoffs. So we haven't really had a chance to discuss that. One goal over two legs. And then, lo and behold, Neil Parsons says, any ideas what's happening at Elche?
No.
Pachetetta gone. Ivan Sanchez, going to be a tough season. Kelvin, what are your thoughts on Elche's decision to sack a head coach that just got them promoted with a small amount of time to prepare for next season? Surely this is madness.
Well, I have to say, first and foremost, I've watched the playoff games and Elche are a million miles away from competing in La Liga. They really are. You know, somehow they got through the playoffs. And it was a late goal against Zaragoza to win it 1-0 on aggregate, and a late goal against Girona in the second leg to win it 1-0 on aggregate again. Nino, the 40-year-old, is still leading the line up front. They have Jonathas, you might remember from previous La Liga seasons. Not too many other familiar names. The pitch is an absolute disaster. So that kind of helped them in the playoffs. And, you know, they finally managed to show the determination and spirit to get through, helped by Stuani getting sent off in the second leg. So they were playing against 10 men for a long period of the game, but Girona never really threatened the goal. So defensively, they looked pretty sound. But you do feel they were a long way away from being able to compete next season. That would be my fear. They had 20 days to turn things around. And what happens? The manager leaves. A fellow called Juan Jose Rojo Martin, better known as Pachetta, I think is the right pronunciation. The story is what I found out, they were taken over mid-season by an agent called Christian Braganic. I'm not sure where he's from. He took over the club midway through the season and has decided to move Pachetta, the coach that got them promoted, on. And then the agent has brought in one of his own clients as manager. And the manager is going to be Jorge Almiron, who's got no record of playing in La Liga, no record of managing in La Liga, has had lots of jobs in the last 5 or 6 years, including in the Middle East. So you're chucking a manager into a league he's never worked in, either as player or coach, and with a team that is, I have to be honest at the moment, I would say substandard, with 18 days left before we start again.
What could go wrong?
I imagine the agent might have some more of his own clients that he can bring in as players, but it's ridiculous. I mean, it shouldn't happen.
Last quick thought, Terry, on the Spain squad as the Nations League kicks off again. So quite a few new names in there, aren't we? So the uncapped players. Unai Simon, the goalkeeper from Athletic. Eric Garcia from Man City. Reguilon hasn't got a cap before, he's in there. Mikel Moreno had a good season with Real Sociedad. Oscar, who is currently back at Real Madrid, isn't he? 22-year-old. We'll see where he is next season. Ansu Fati is in there, the age of 17. Ferran Torres, newly of Manchester City, of course. And Adama Traore, who I think is deserves that call-up, doesn't he? He's had a super few years with first Middlesbrough and then Wolves.
Yeah, I think it's refreshing. It's great to see Luis Enrique give young players an opportunity. I think we have to bear in mind that the dates of the games in terms of before the season starts. So I think there are players omitted from the squad that maybe participated in the Champions League maybe longer than 1 or 2 hours, or in European football 1 or 2 hours, and maybe that will come back into the squad in the future squads. So I think it's an experimental squad, hence the reason a lot of those players are in there. But I think it would be fair to say they all deserve to be there and to be given an opportunity, and it's a good opportunity for Luis Enrique to see what they're like against Germany, against Ukraine, before the season starts. As I say, it's like everything else that's going on in the world of football. It's all very untidy at the moment. Everyone's making the best of it. Luis Enrique has obviously decided to take the opportunity to look at... I'm surprised, Gerard Moreno wasn't in it, bearing in mind he was the top Spanish player scoring-wise in La Liga this season. I think Paco Alcácer had a good end of the season but picked up an injury towards the end. You know, there are other players. Danny Ceballos was involved in Arsenal towards the end of the season. Saul is a big omission. Koke, I don't think we'll see Diego Costa back playing for Spain again now. So it's a decent group, pool of players. It's a shame because Santa Cazorla was probably gone to the Euros, but now he's gone off to play in Qatar. Don't see him being involved with the Spain team. So it's a team that's in transition. And quite right, Enrique has chosen to look at some of the new younger players that could be the future of Spain.
Right then, I think we'll leave it there, Terry. But luckily, because the world of football is a world of madness, we'll be back again discussing all of these transfer stories. We might even find out where Messi's going, whether he's brought down the president, what he's managed to do. So we'll come back with another podcast soon. So keep in touch, everybody, and thank you for listening.